with my microphones. Now, I'm joined in the studio. We've been having a good old chat off air, if you wonder where I've gone for the last 20 minutes. Now, I'm joined in the studio by Perfect Blue Sky. They were here in May earlier this year, and we're back in the studio with Jane and with Pinar. Have I said it correctly?
Yeah, kind of. Everyone has a different way of saying it. But think about piña colada.
It's my Cockney accent. If that makes it any better for you.
Jine
and Pina.
Now, we've had you on the A-list here with Astronaut and Give You My Love. You came in and gave a fantastic live performance in the studio when you came in May, and it's lovely to see you back. I've written a joss stick in your honour.
Yeah. It was perfect welcome.
Yeah, so it's beautiful in the studio and very, very nice. Now, the Eye of Tilos was the album we were coming in to chat about in May.
Yeah.
So what have you guys, first of all, what have you guys been up to since you were here in May?
Well, it's been a lot of travelling.
Yeah.
It's been a lot of Scandinavia, Finland, and we got some things lining up in Sweden as well. So, yeah, we've been working on the album, making music videos.
Yeah,
the usual stuff, you know, and booking this tour that we're doing now in the UK. So I think it's about 7 dates we're doing right now. Mm. And hopefully we're going to be able to come back next year as well. It's looking pretty good. So, it's becoming a tradition to come here now.
And whereabouts is it? So you've just landed, and this is the first set of the interviews because you're going to be all over the UK, are you?
Yeah, it is our first stop. We picked up the hire car this morning and raced through here, M26, and here we are.
M25 it was,
M25. Yeah,
I'm the map guy. Yeah, no, she's just driving. Yeah, don't listen to her.
Oh, I'm sure there's an M26 somewhere.
I think it's in Scotland somewhere, but don't worry about it. So whereabouts is your first live gig here?
Actually, you say Norwich, Norfolk?
Yeah,
Norwich,
yeah, yeah.
At the Blakeney Harbour Rooms, we're supporting John O'Leary and Sugarcane.
Mm.
So that's tonight. And then Sunday night we're down in Sutton, Surrey?
Yep.
Yeah, at the Boom Boom Club.
Yep.
With John and Sugarcane again. And then we hit the road. I think we're going down Bristol Way and then rolling around to, you call it Stratford upon Avon?
Yes.
I got it back to front, a little bit dyslexic. Avon upon Stratford.
Yep.
There's a Stratford and Avon somewhere in there.
And then we roll up to, we're going to Newcastle to do a live radio and then across to Liverpool and play at the Zanzibar in Liverpool and then back across to Leeds. The Abbey Inn, and then straight up to Scotland.
Oh, wow.
To,
Edinburgh.
And is that how many days, how long are you over here for to do that? Is that within sort of 10 days or 7 days?
10 days.
Yeah, wow. So you've got a fully packed schedule.
And one of the best things about picking up the car and just like doing it as the two-piece, because we literally just pack up our life and on the road, off we go. Lots of fuel and coffee stops and finding things, getting lost on the GPS. It's a really, when you look back, they're the most happiest times and the people you meet. So really pleased.
It's really good to have you back in the studio. Now, we are going to talk about the album and we're also going to talk about new material that you've been writing and Greece and all sorts of things. So we're going to kick off with a song because I want to get as many songs in from you as possible. Mm. You're going to do 3 live numbers today in the studio. So tell us about this first one.
This first one is the A-listed favourite that we got very, very proud to hear about here at Phoenix FM. So it's called Astronaut.
Brilliant.
And this is all about, not compromising your dreams. Live the life. 1, 2, 3.
Ride the cracks on your silver sky while golden light passed you by. What might have been? The sun bears down every day, wasting time and rode away. So little left of it. To a house you never owned, and a wife you never loved, for a dream you never dared, and a high you never felt, for the time you never took. Oh, will it ever come again? No, no. Everyone is someone else, and everywhere is never there, and the hours burn. Doing time just for doing stuff, and ask for courage a little. little too much, easier to stay.
I was singing a lot. I wasn't singing loud. I was just sort of nodding there because I've heard that song so many times because we've been playing that on our A-list and loads of times on the show. So that is Perfect Blue Sky. They are in the studio with me again today. They were here in May. Their album, The Eye of Tilos, is out now and they're playing all over the UK at the moment, but you can find them all over social media. Now, you've worked with loads of other people. We did talk about this before, so but we will just have a little mention. You've worked with the likes of Ed Sheeran, Dionne Warwick, Charlie XCX. So you've worked with loads of different people. So tell us about some of the music that you've made and done.
Oh, well, I've been fortunate to have a sound company back in Sweden where I'm coming from. So I kind of always been, I've been brought up into the scene and worked on both sides, kind of. So, yeah, I've been fortunate enough to work with a lot of these great artists coming, especially from the UK, into Sweden, doing both production work with them and sound work and all these things. So, you know, you're picking up good ideas and good songs and you know, you get inspired by working with very talented people. So, and yeah, it's been a good journey.
It's a very good influence for us too. And you learn what you want to do and what reflects you and what you find is your story or your style kind of thing. So you learn a lot of the professional applications as well. Mm-hmm. So, and speaking of Ed Sheeran, we both have his guitar straps. He gave us a gift of guitar. So you can touch it 10 degrees. 10 degrees. No, was it 6 degrees of separation?
Yeah, I think I got like 8 or 9 of these.
Oh, wow. So,
my God.
A whole bunch. Yeah, it was just when he just won the first Brit Awards, I think it was. Yeah. Back 2012, maybe, was it? Something like that. And he came over to Sweden and he did a show at a quite small club for Ed Sheeran, but he was just getting started then. Yeah. So it was like for 900 people, something.
Yeah.
So, but I was blown away by the performance. It was very, very good.
Yeah.
You know, and he just captured that whole audience. There was kids everywhere screaming and, you know.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
And the kids were tapped in. They knew what was coming, you know, but now he's really huge. You know, he's playing arenas when it comes to Sweden now.
Yeah.
Like Messiah.
Yeah, he is.
He's a nice guy, though. Very nice.
Jane, you've got an amazing voice. Where did that develop from? Have you always had that voice? I mean, or you've had training? Because your range is phenomenal.
Oh, thank you. I always get a little bit slightly embarrassed. Yeah, because you know, I really believe in the art, and you serve the art, and in the sense vocally, I just wanted to landscape as much as I could in terms of color. It's nothing you calculate, you develop, you grow into it because you sort of visualize as you're singing. Like, you know, if you want to hit the sky low, sky! You know, or if you want to hit really low, like, you take it where it needs to go. And I think I believe everyone can sing.
Mm.
It's just that we don't always know how to activate it, you know, like a sport or something like that. But for me, I've always visualized, I want to go there. So yeah. I go there or come close.
Yeah.
Or it's more feminine, it's more masculine. And I don't believe that the voice has to be so restricted. It's a bit like actors or in theater. Mm. You can actually discover your full breadth.
Yeah.
So in that way, I serve the art, but it just so happens that I have this kind of chameleon, a little bit Tourette's-ish kind of type of voice, because it just suddenly goes out of nowhere, you know. So apparently my microphone technique, according to the sound engineer, is a little bit strange.
Just too loud sometimes, just too loud.
yeah. But no, it's. But thank you very much. I basically sing to accompany the guitar. Mm. I know that sounds a bit crazy, but...
Yeah.
I just follow.
It's great because with your voice as well, we're so used to now hearing, I don't know, because a lot of singers all sound the same. I know it's probably a generational thing, because if you're a singer, you probably sound similar to somebody that you would have liked maybe when you were younger, I don't know. But all the singers at the moment, to me, all sound the same. And they all sing at such a full force and so complicated that when you want to listen to the actual lyrics of a song, now I might sound a bit old, but I want to listen to the lyrics. I want a little bit of light and shade. I don't want this kind of like full force. And it's full force throughout the whole thing.
Yeah.
And when you sing, you've got, you know, where you do these belting notes, and then you've got you've got this really sort of rich, deeper end to your vocals as well. So you get light and shade, which is what I really like. That I, you know, a lot of modern music as such, I can't listen to it's too full on all the time.
I've actually gone and done masterclasses in different countries, and particularly when I meet the younger kids, because a lot of them are sort of, everybody sort of models themselves on a typical artist, say if it was Beyonce or someone. And depending on the style, there's a lot of scaling, you know. Yeah, and you're scaling. So they sing in scales rather than serve the song.
Yeah.
And that's what I said. I get, like, for students, if I'm doing, like, something to do a masterclass, I say, can you read the lyric? Mm. How would you say this? So they sort of look at the lyric and go, and emphasise certain words. I said, this is how you would speak. So you wouldn't sort of sing, sing something like that you would normally say, like, in that way. So I guess what I'm trying to explain without any examples per se, I believe that you've got to serve the song, and that puts your personality back, and then the performance comes from the personality of how you're serving the song.
Mm.
And so there's no big scales dropping in and out there. It's like doing more of this kind of manic approach or soft approach. You have to serve the song, and then it's always a brand new story because it's your story.
Mm.
And I think that's the difference, is that there's so many this conditioning with trend that doesn't make room for the personality. And the UK has always been a country of big voices. You know, you've got Adele, you've got Robbie Williams, you've got, by God, Tom Jones. I heard him the other day. It's not unusual to me. And I thought, where does that cave come from, this voice? But he had such a phenomenal voice back in those 60s or whatever, my parents' records and that sort of thing. You think, that's where I want to go. I want to find out where the real singers live, the ones that earn the story.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Yeah.
It does.
I believe that.
And Tom, if you're listening, you can come in anytime you like. Anytime you like. I know he's listening right now. You're going to do another song, and then we're going to come back and talk about the album as well.
Yeah.
So what's the next track you're going to do?
Shall we do Wasteland?
Do you want to do something that's... belt a little bit.
Okay, all right, all belts. We're going to do Fiction Man.
Here we go.
Yeah. Okay, all right. So we'll do a song called Fiction Man. This is also on the Eye of Telos. And surprisingly, getting a little bit of attention. But this one's all about not listening to the crazy guy in your head, you know, on those occasions, right?
Well,
so your turn.
Two, three,
I want to pray, but I'm so tired of praying. I want to say I'm sorry, it doesn't cut the pain. I want to hide so you can't read my eyes. I want to scream, cause I live out of space.
Tongue. Are you the fiction man? Rhyme your riddle. Hear the stories play. Excuse me, mister, for fiction's sake.
Standing with my phone in my hand, filming you at the same time. That is amazing. Your voice is incredible. It really is. It really is. I love your voice. And I love the songs. We've been playing them here on Phoenix FM. They're brilliant. Now, the Eye of Tilos. Have I got that right? Tilos? Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell us about the title of it and what it means.
Well, the title actually comes from... it's a summary of a lot of songwriting that... I was doing, and also Pinner, but I was writing quite a lot of lyrics when I go down to Greece. I usually go once a year to do my meditation and walk along amongst the rocks and the thorns barefoot. I usually go for a couple of weeks. And when I came back, you know, we'd had a bunch of lyrics and so forth, and we got together, and Pinner said, why don't we call it the Eye of Tilos? I think it would be totally appropriate summary for this.
Mm.
And, yeah, so pretty much from there, we just compiled our songs. We had a lot more songs, but we chose the ones that was most appropriate for the flow of the album.
Yeah.
You know, for every song you write, you've got another three that you sacrifice. And, you know, it's not easy because you're close to them, but then you've got to sort of take a little bit of an objective standpoint and say, well, hang on, how does this lie in the album?
Mm.
We've been really, really grateful how the response from the album has been in many countries, actually. So, and we got our first vinyl version too.
Oh, brilliant.
It's a picture of our lounge room as well.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's really, that's as retro as you go. Yeah.
So how did you two, I don't think I asked you this before, how did you two actually meet?
Oh, well, it was back in 2005, and back then I was working a lot as a music producer. I've done a lot of albums as well, producing, and I had a friend from America, a blues player called Brian Kramer, who said, oh, I got this artist that she's fantastic, I think you two would be a perfect match, and I was working on his album at the moment, and he said, she's over in America, and she needs someone to complete complete her album. So, so I mean, I want to hook you guys up. And, well, eventually she showed up, you know, carrying all her bags and stuff, you know, dragging around in Stockholm. And we had a meeting, and I thought she was, you know, energetic, and she had all the, you know, the way she is. She grabs you like a storm, tornado. And I had to listen to the album. I thought it was fantastic. Mm. And at the moment, she was working with Michael Vale Blum over in America, who's done Kelly Clarkson and Pink Floyd and a lot of different big acts, you know. And yeah, he needed someone who could complete the album. And I said, yeah, let's do this. Let's try this. And went really well. The album was fantastic. We were very happy. And once it was over, you know, we said like, oh, okay, so what's now, you know? Because we were like, when you get that bond, it's like being in the army together kind of thing, you know, when you're doing an album.
Yeah.
So she said, oh, do you want to be my guitar player? We're like, yeah, of course. Mm. Yeah, I got a festival in the UK in 3 weeks. Do you want to come along? Yeah, of course I will. And, you know, the rest is history. So, yeah, that's how it went.
Yeah, and it was a two-piece. We actually went on stage as a two-piece at the Maryport Festival. Mm. And that was really our first, that was our first debut as a band.
I was terribly nervous, I remember
that.
I remember we
had that big suit, that big...
Yeah, she forced me to have a suit, I don't know why. Yeah, she started looking handsome in a suit.
Poor guy was drenched in sweat, you know, from nerves and, you know, and heat, really.
Mm.
Yeah. That was great.
Oh, a little bit of a hangover too, maybe.
Yeah. You partied a few nights earlier there. Yeah, so it was great.
Very reckless.
With your songwriting, when you sit down to write a song, is it something you have lyrics come to you all the time, Jane, or is it something that you sit down and you get some guitar chords, or does it just depend on the mood?
I think for myself, I write lyrics on the fly on a separate occasion. If I see something to summarise or observe, or have a theme, and also co-write with some other people as well, because I really like that idea. We do a little bit of that What's Up co-writing madness too. So, but pretty much to summarise, and then I hold those lyrics like, you know, like a diary, and then when we have a melody, or Pinner comes up with a melody or something, or he has a theme with some text or something, then we just sort of tap in on the emotional fuse that comes in, what it stirs up in you, you know, like, what does this summarise in me? This is sort of more melancholy, this is more upbeat, this is more celebration. And then you fuse what possibly a set of lyrics could fit into the melody and fit into the song. So that works best, at least for us. For most of the time, we pump songs out like at the kitchen table.
Yeah.
You know, so, and even when we listened to you on the radio, one time I tuned in and I thought, yeah, you're there sitting writing songs. Yeah. So it's all 6 degrees of separation.
Yeah.
But that's pretty much how we do it anyway.
What are your plans for next year? Because you're obviously doing this tour here and you're going to be going up to Scotland and Leeds and Stratford-upon-Avon.
Yeah.
So when that's finished, you're going to go back to...
Back to Sweden.
Yeah,
back to Sweden is right. And yeah, we got some different things that's been lined up, you know. I think the next plan is to head out to, I think we're doing Netherlands, is that right?
Oh, we're doing Netherlands in May. We're coming back to the UK in March to do a week, yeah. And then we're in Finland, I think in April, late March and then April. And then we go to a songwriter festival, Tartu. In Estonia.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been invited to play there, then Sweden, and then we come back to the UK again.
Mm.
So we're going to try to make our way over here more frequently now.
We have a couple of shows back in Sweden when we come back too. Mm. We have one quite big show with an old, you know, famous cult band in Sweden called Sator. I don't know if you ever heard them over in England, but they were huge over in Sweden. They did a song that's called I Wanna Go Home, which is really catchy, you know. I'll play it to you sometime.
Oh, right.
And an ABBA cover.
Yeah.
Ring, ring.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Anyway, so we're supporting those guys. It's a good friend of ours, and we've been touring with them many times. So.
Yeah.
So you've got all that to look forward to. Are you going back to Australia, Jane? Do you reckon you'll get back there in the...
I'm going to try to. I'm going to try to get back home and see my family in April. Not April, sorry, May. And what date is it? February, just to get back for a couple of weeks. And of course, every time I go back, I always play this certain outback gig called the Humpty Doo Hotel.
Right.
And I rang them and said, what do you reckon if I float through, if my plane actually drops out of the sky and lands on your tarmac, can I do a show? He said, anytime you're there. They're so supportive and loyal.
Yeah.
And they just like, you never forget us, do you? It's like, that's how it works. That for me is a great gift.
And you're hoping to possibly come over to the UK more, sort of, you know. I think you're Greece. I can just see you on somewhere in Greece, you know, writing by the beach and going off and do gigs and go back to the sun. I mean, I love the UK because I obviously live here. But if I could live anywhere, I would go and live in Greece.
Yeah, I want to recruit Penner to Greece because he will get that freedom.
Yeah,
you understand the freedom. There's a psychic freedom in Greece. That's a good way to put it, isn't it? Somebody said that to me about Australia, actually, as well, because it's a lifestyle country.
Mm.
It's not so formulated against weather and against system because of the seasons. It's just you just land there and go, okay, where's the compass? And just sort of head in a direction.
Yeah.
And I think Greece is very, very similar. And apparently Greece is 2,000 kilometres north of the equator that Melbourne in Australia is 2,000 kilometres south.
Oh,
so if you flip it over, you get the same landscape, the same volcanic rocks, you get the same cicadas and that heat.
Yeah.
That heat that's just, you know, the wave, or then it gets really quite cold at night time. Mm. So, but I understand, it's in my soul, Greece. I love it. And for me, I get peace knowing that it's close by because it's that little stepping stone towards home. Mm. And same for the UK.
Yeah.
You know, you see so many things familiar that you go, hang on, my uncle could have lived here in Caulfield or somewhere, or Croydon, you know, those places. Mm. So.
I think a lot of places we're driving through here, they look a lot like Melbourne does.
Yeah.
You can tell the influences.
Yeah, for sure.
Except there's no sunshine here. Well, there is a little bit today.
But it is right now.
The weather normally is rubbish. I think that this summer's been rubbish. It's not just been very good at all. So we're going to finish on a song. If you want to find out more about the guys, you can find them on all the W's. perfectbluesky.net, and they're also on Facebook as well at Perfect Blue Sky, and on Twitter at PBS_band. The album Isle of Tilos is out now. So we've already been playing Astronaut and Give You My Love on the A-list here. They are fantastic. If you get a chance to see them live, I don't know whether you'll be able to travel off, but hopefully when you come back you'll be doing some more London, Essex.
That's a plan.
Do some in Essex.
Yeah.
Maybe one in Essex and the rest in London, you know.
All right.
And if you're playing in Greece, anytime you're playing in Greece, just let me know and I'll fly over and come and see you wherever you are.
Yeah, you're going to join us.
Right. You've not got to Greece yet, have you? You've not been?
I have never been there, no.
Jane.
I know.
But she's been trying, though. She's been trying to pull me there. It's just been a bit too much with all the albums and everything going on right now. So, but
once you go there, you'll be like, that's it.
He loves Nice in France. We have really, really good friends in Nice, and we've made a few shows down there, and that's kind of a little bit the same thing. Not quite far down, but Nice is really, really a great spot. So he likes that. So I know if it's further south, he's going
to
love it.
We went there to support one of your countrymen, Pete Doherty.
A few years ago.
But he didn't show up.
He
stayed in Paris to drink, apparently. So it was a big arena there. Like.
And we were the supporting act for Pete Doherty. Yeah. And we ended up being the main act.
He
stayed in Paris.
Yeah, you find it up on YouTube. It's hilarious. We just had to fill up the stage with whatever we had, you know, chairs, guitars, roadies, anything we did.
And how long did you have to play for?
Oh, we had to play for like 1.5 hours instead of 40 minutes.
They'd taken all the ticket money, and all these poor kids were so disappointed sitting outside the fence and were like, oh, you're here to...
Not everyone stayed, though, but it was probably like 600-700 people stayed there.
Yeah. That was a pretty special moment.
Yeah. And they were really grateful for us, you know, putting on a show anyway, you know.
Yeah.
We didn't know any Pete Doherty songs, unfortunately, but we squeezed in a couple of Nirvana just to give them relief.
The funny thing is, I remember being in the main street in Promenade des Anglais, and I remember trying to look for an outfit for the stage that night, and I was just in such a hurry, I couldn't find anything, so I bought a pair of polyester shorts and wore a T-shirt, so I had cut off shorts in the changing room and a T-shirt and wore them on stage. And now I look back and go, oh my God, what an opportunity. Sense of clothing.
Yeah.
Oh, and I must say, you've got some lovely merchandise at the moment. You've got a lovely hoodie. I like that.
Thank you.
And you've done the artwork on it as well.
Yeah, on this side. Yeah. Mm. Pinner did this artwork.
It's fabulous artwork. And are you selling those on your page yet?
This is the prototype. We've got 6 T-shirts for this tour.
Yeah.
Just to see if they actually sell.
Yeah.
And then after that, we're gonna build some stuff on. But we have got LPs at the website.
Yeah.
That's what we're...
It's mainly a problem of dragging it around, you know. That's what it comes to, you know.
Yeah.
It's easier, you know. Probably next time we'll make sure we ship something over before we get here.
Mm.
You know. But when you have to check it in on the flights, you know, and you're carrying all the bags, I think... I calculate we're carrying about 85 kilos between us.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not very big. I mean, like, okay, Jane is pretty buff, but I mean, I'm not big.
We've already talked about Jane's arms before when she came in May. Perfect blue sky, but perfect toned arms. Looks like you do a lot of yoga. Beautiful arms. I said that before. I just couldn't take my arms off your arms. My eyes off your arms.
My arms looks like a tired salmon hanging. You know.
I was just saying tired salmon. Yeah.
Anyway, moving swiftly on, so you can find out more about the guys, Perfect Blue Sky. They are superb. Don't forget the album, Eye of Telos, is out now, and you're going to end on a song. What's this tune?
We're going to play a song that's called Wasteland, which is very good for the times we have right now. You know, it's about not following other people's old ideas and how things should be.
Yeah, so, not get lost.
Yeah.
That's what we're really all for. Pinner sings on this one.
Don't get lost in history. That's it. All right.
Right. Well,
from your perfect rainbow. Ride the weather of the waves. Oh, a streaming smile. It's a brave thing to let go of. To silence the belly of the tide.
escape.
Oh, I feel like more. Yay! Come on, give yourselves a round of applause. That was absolutely fantastic. That is Perfect Blue Sky. You can find them all over the web, and the album, The Eye of Tilos, is out. So have a safe journey back.
Well, thank you so much for having us.
And it's lovely to see you, and you'll be back in March then.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll be lovely. Back. Yeah, we'll be standing outside the window staring at you.
I'll get me joss sticks ready. Thanks very much.